Welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. Y'all know the drill. I'm waiting for my peoples to get in.
It's out, look.
T Street.
Yo.
What's good?
Chilling.
Where is this at? All right, boom. Man, I forgot to send it, man. If Trey ain't hit me, I totally forgot about the link.
Oh, you didn't send the link out?
Nah.
Here you come.
What I did about like maybe 30 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yo.
What up?
Chillin'.
This thing, man. We on 70, bitch. You dig?
70, bro.
Crushing. Shit ain't nothing, man.
We got Reek in there.
About time.
Oh, somebody else got the big fine.
Got the big fine
coming up.
They say okay. Women always last, man.
My man James Holmes already in the chat. What's up,
good, Holmes? James? What's good?
What up with you? Oh yeah, Donnie gonna pay that fast.
Oh yeah, she gonna get it.
What up, Reek?
Hey, Donnie.
He's like, hell,
they gonna pay that fast.
Hey.
Get that fine.
Hey, that's going to be a 50 piece. That's a 50 piece for the night.
And we ain't talking Wingstop.
Hey, look, that Wingstop be hitting, yo.
Lemon pepper.
Hey, yo, whole time this week, like why I made lemon pepper wings for the first time, let me tell you, them joints was bomb.
Lemon to pepper.
Who? Who said they was good over to you?
No, I had my kids because my kids not big on chicken. So it was just more or less like, they don't really mess with chicken like that. So I was just like, y'all taste these. Let me know how y'all, you know, rock with them before I taste them. My son, he was like, dang, mommy, these good. These taste almost like Wingstop. I'm like, all right, I got something else up under my belt.
You fried them or did you air fry them?
I fried them. I don't have an air fryer.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I fried them. Yeah. But we did the whole draining of the grease and everything like that. But them joints was lit.
That's lemon pepper, man. If you get your lemon pepper game up, now we talking.
Man, I was psyched because I've been wanting to learn how to make those for a long time. So
yeah, Chauncey might make you an honest woman get the lemon pepper game up.
Chauncey.
Charles can make me an honest woman. We already had this discussion. Nigga, make me an honest woman.
So, will y'all say that Rick Ross made lemon pepper wings popular?
No, he did not.
He can't get that. Okay.
No, he can't get that.
He jumped on that lemon pepper wave.
Yeah. America's Best got really good lemon pepper wings.
Yeah, they are good.
I think theirs are better than Wingstop.
Well, y'all know what this is. This is episode 70, man. So,
bang.
Welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. I'm your host. I go by E1. We got T Streets in the building.
Yep.
We got Trey in the building.
That's the room.
We got Donnie in the building.
First lady on the mic.
And we got Reek in the building. And this is episode 7. And so we're gonna have to clap that up, man.
70.
Episode 70, man. Now, that's
70.
Dope.
Easy. That's
now,
easy.
Last week, if you guys listened last week, me and Trey, you know, weren't able to make the episode. And and we're going to tell y'all in a minute why we didn't make it. But what I just want to let y'all know, I just want to let y'all
$50 fine.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
We back in the building. You feel me?
Oh, really?
We back. Yeah,
Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty.
We back.
How
so,
long
you
did
know,
you search for that sound?
Y'all know always
man,
got
I love that shit.
We
gotta play that shit every week. I love that shit.
But so last week, me and Trey went to there's a venue, and for new listeners, we're from the DMV area. That's DC, Maryland, and Virginia. For those who don't know, and one of Trey's mans, his daughter is a rap artist, and she had a. She had a show, and it was at the Songbird. Reek, you been to the Songbird before?
Nah.
So it's a dope venue. It's small, but the sound is really good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it could, you know, there's a setup. It was a DJ, but you can have a live band there too, man. And Don Jalay, that's the artist's name. And she did a great job, man. It was a good show. What'd you say, Trey?
It was a dope ass show. Her name is Don Jalay, like E said, the Punchline Princess. And it was just so dope. Like, she had, for her first 45-minute set, she had all of her friends come out, and she did the different songs with them. And the songs were hot. And then she had them perform their own songs. Then she did another 45-minute set after that. You feel what I'm saying? Mm. So she definitely turned it out. But, yeah, shout out to Don Jalay, and shout out to her father, Donye. And man, they're both Bears fans. You feel me?
That's the only blow.
So that's the biggest. That's the biggest downfall.
That's the biggest downfall.
I'm gonna wait. I ain't gonna say that.
Biggest.
You know what I'm saying? But no. But shout out to Don Jalay, man. We had a dope ass time. She gonna be back on the pod with us on a Thursday or another in person joint.
For sure. So y'all know we in March Madness, and what's different about this year's March Madness is, well, for a lot of people, that this one, the women's March Madness has been paid attention to.
Absolutely.
Seem like more than the guys, right? So right. I'm gonna just give a few of the scores at this point. I think the tournament start with, at least the guys start with 64 or 67 teams now.
68.
Okay. And so now we add the Elite Eight points. So as well, we had the Final Four, but the Elite Eight was played, and the men's scores, UConn beat Illinois 77 to 52. Alabama beat Clemson 89 to 82. In the South, Duke loses to NC State, which that was kind of an upset.
Yes.
And I used to love Duke, but I don't care about him no more. Midwest, Purdue beat Tennessee. And now we had the Final Four. And so it's going to be Alabama. I guess it's tonight?
Nah, this weekend.
This weekend, okay.
Saturday.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. Alabama versus UConn, and then NC State versus Purdue. If you ask me, I say it's going to be UConn versus Purdue in the final. That's my take.
Who y'all got?
UConn and Purdue, UConn, most likely.
UConn. Donnie, who you got?
Well, actually.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. That's what
I'm big on college ball. I'm sorry. I got you.
What ball you big on?
That's hilarious.
Hey, something wrong with y'all, man. I can't even ask some questions, man.
What happened to them sensitivity trainers, man?
What's wrong with y'all, man? I can't even have regular conversation on this joke.
Hey, pretty sure everybody took it the way.
Come on, man. Y'all got to grow up, man. So,
hey, the boys back there. Hey, check this out. Hey, check this out real, real quick, right? Check this out real, real fast. I know you didn't ask me this, but hold on. I'm about to talk about some hockey real fast.
Oh, go ahead. Do your thing.
Okay.
So, look.
Get off these balls.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Listen, we got shout out to the goddamn Cincinnati Cyclones. Okay? They made history. Exactly. The Cincinnati Cyclones, they made history this week. The first time ever, all black lineup in pro hockey.
What the fuck?
Ever. Even though black people started hockey, that's actually a fact. But this week, for the first time, the Cincinnati Cyclones made history for first starting all five of the players in a lineup were black.
That this is not dope. The NHL, is it? Or this is pro?
It's a pro team, which, it's a bunch of
rec league.
Yeah,
rec league.
That's why we're not.
Okay. So it's like the UFL. You know what I mean? You got the NFL, UFL. You know what I mean?
And the minor league. Gotcha.
So check this shit out. Yesterday, last night, was the most monumental shit we ever seen as black people and white people watching hockey. The goddamn New York Rangers were playing the New Jersey Devils. As soon as the damn referee dropped the puck, everybody started fighting everybody. on the goddamn ice. If all the Devils picked somebody from the Rangers and they started punching them in the damn face. On the ice was fighting. Everybody on the ice. They let them fight for 4 minutes and 36 seconds, okay? Because they hate each other, right? You want to know what happened to all 10 of them? Only thing happened to the motherfuckers was they got in the penalty box for 10 minutes and then they kept fucking playing the game. Hockey's fantastic.
Yeah, you can
hockey,
yeah.
Fight
in hockey, man.
Hockey, yeah, you can definitely hockey fight is hockey. Fantastic. You can get your frustration out. But that was the first time that ever happened in hockey where everybody just started fighting. One of the dudes was a rookie, right? He played 3 games in the NHL. He's been suspended every game for fighting. That shit is fucking amazing, bro.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I think he only played hockey so he can fight.
This is my question.
Yeah.
That couldn't wait until we finished college basketball.
No. Because I didn't want to forget. Because that... News, see? That was breaking news. That's breaking news. Because,
well, thank you, Trey.
Because the women shit is more important. The women shit is more important than this fucking dumbass hockey shit. I just want to
Trey,
tell y'all.
Read the room.
This shit was amazing. Now let's get to Caitlin Clark.
So NCAA women. Thanks,
let's
Trey.
Let's get to Caitlin Clark.
So the women's scores, Elite Eight, right? So Oregon State loses to South Carolina 70-58. Portland. Wait, hold on. What am I? Portland.
NC State.
Oh, okay. Yeah. NC State beats Texas 76-66. Oh, this is how the brackets are broke down. Okay.
Yeah.
LSU loses to Iowa State. And that was the, you know, that was the game that everybody was paying attention to. 94-87. And the USC loses my girl. What's her name?
Juju Watkins.
She a freshman. They took the L to UConn 80-73. And so the Final Four for the women. It's going to be NC State versus South Carolina, who hasn't lost a game this year. Mm. And then UConn is going to play Iowa. Mm. And so what are y'all predictions about that?
I got UConn and SC State.
You got
UConn winning it all. Huh? I like Paige, man.
Paige is a baller.
Paige is nasty. I like the center from UConn, the girl with the braids, with the yellow braids. Right. She's a beast, dog. She's a beast down low. UConn tough, but listen, I gotta see somebody beat Caitlin. I'm riding with Steph Curry sister.
Riding with Caitlin Clark?
I'm riding with her, man. Hey bro, she can pass, she can shoot. Come on, man. She cooking.
Darius said Iowa.
Darius and Iowa.
I don't want Iowa to win. I don't know why.
Man, listen,
you
man.
You don't like Caitlin Clark's face.
You don't like her face and you be hating on
you
her.
You don't like her face.
That girl's a ball.
I feel you though. Some people face, dog. You don't
It throw you off. It's just like.
Her face. I don't like it.
No, but all jokes aside, she can hoop. I mean, I can't take nothing from her. And she was able to get some get back on LSU because they lost to LSU last year in the final. So for the championship, so for her to end her story, to complete it, for it to be truly historic, it would be nice for her to get a championship. Is it going to happen? I don't know, because beating UConn or South Carolina, I think, is going to be tough.
This is it. I think, I truly think UConn's going to win, but I'm rooting for Iowa.
Okay.
And I think South Carolina's going to dominate NC State. Now, if we go with who I'm rooting for, go with Iowa, Caitlin Clark. South Carolina has went undefeated in the regular season the last 2 years.
Yeah, they have.
They only lost one game last year, and that was to Caitlin Clark in the tournament. So if Iowa faces them again, I'm going with Caitlin. I'm going with young Miss Female Steph.
Steph. Now, we're going to keep it on sports. Now, y'all remember we talked about Kobe Bryant, about his parents. We had a discussion about his parents selling his ring. And so since that, I have an update, and Kobe Bryant's championship ring sold at the auction for nearly $1 million. So it says a buyer purchased Kobe Bryant's 2000 Lakers championship ring for $927,000. Mm-hmm. The fee included the buyer's premium and is the highest price ever paid for an NBA ring. The previous high mark was $705,000 for Bill Russell's 1957 ring. The first of his 11 championships, paid in 2021. Bryant gifted the ring to his father, Joe Jellybean Bryant, after winning his first championship following the 2000 season. The auction received a total of 43 bids, according to collectibles company Golden. The ring is an identical copy of the one Kobe received. It has Bryant inscribed into his side and is the same size as the original. The ring has 40 diamonds and it is made with 14 karat gold. Joe co-signed the ring to the Golden in 2013 and it sold for $173,000. The buyer in 2013 co-signed it for the most recent sale. So I guess this one was I guess the Kobe's is original, but they talking about, I guess, a previous one that was sold.
Yeah.
That was a replica. So, you know, we had a conversation about why his parents were selling it, and we were thinking about maybe would his wife buy it. I don't think she's a buyer unless she did it anonymously. Mm-hmm. But the ring sold. So, you know, I guess if they needed money, they got some
change. They got plenty of change now.
927,000 reasons.
Yeah. So
why
now
they sold it.
This story right here is this one Trey told us about, and this is Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen may never be friends. This article is from Sportscasting. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen may never be friends again after Pippen admitted he regrets not giving Jordan condolences after his father was murdered. Seemed like Scottie Pippen got a little emotional, man.
Yeah,
almost. Hey, he don't go in the games. I mean, he said he been having some issues, man. So it says in a memoir, Unguarded, Chicago Bulls legend Scottie Pippen admitted he didn't offer Michael Jordan condolences when his father was murdered in 1993. James Jordan was killed while he slept in his car on the side of a North Carolina highway, and his body was found in a South Carolina creek. It says ESPN Stephen A. Smith is one of the few media members who has a relationship with Jordan. After the excerpt of Pippen's memoir, in which he talked about now offering condolences to Jordan, came out, Smith went on First Take and boldly stated that the Bulls icons may never be friends again. Says Smith said it's over between Jordan and Pippen after what Latta revealed in his book about the former father's passing. The veteran media talent spoke with Jordan in November 2021. His father passed away after the first three-peat, Smith said. So you had year one without Jordan, year two, mm-hmm. you had 3 years you were with him for the second three-peat to mm-hmm. express your condolences. You never mm-hmm. did it.
You never
Michael
did
Jordan
it.
Never even thought about that until mm-hmm. he saw it. And then he realized, wait a minute, your bitch ass didn't give me condolences.
That's exactly what he thought, too.
I didn't even think about this.
Your bitch
so Pippen, you know, is fucked up because...
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, he got some issues, man. I don't know what that's about. That's Do y'all think it's like envy? Do you think he envies Jordan?
That got to come from a place of envy for you mm-hmm. to not want to send your condolences. And then how his father passed away in such a tragic way... Absolutely, that is envy. That's almost that's what you get type of a thing.
But that's I didn't even mean to say, but that's the one of like the epitome of passive aggressive, right? Because mm-hmm. because I admittedly don't really mess with you like that, but at the same time, I wanted you to come back to the Bulls. I'm still wearing your fucking sneakers while you're not even playing. I want you to come back. So you had time throughout that 2 years. You came back. We won three more chips. And you mm-hmm. are still purposely not saying anything to this man. So it's a lot of shit with Scotty. It's a lot of shit with Scotty for purposely not doing that. The man's father was murdered. Those are some of the reasons why you get fucking condolences.
Yeah.
And then he purposely, this is the weirdest shit. Then he purposely says it in a book.
In a book.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right. That's crazy.
I mean, Reek, what you about to say, Reek?
You know, you ever had a situation where you wanted to say something to somebody?
Right.
And you let so much time go past, mm-hmm. you feel awkward saying it. So
yeah.
I think, you know, that though. Could be a situation in itself. Yeah,
no, that's real. But that's real. What you saying, Rick?
But yeah, it is. It is. It is. It is.
And it might have been awkward, like with their relationship towards the end of their playing time together.
you know, oh yeah, my bad about your dad. He probably
And you know, so, men don't communicate like they should sometimes. So it's hard for a man to say, hey, come here for a minute, let me rap to you. So look, remember, I mean, you know, guys don't, I mean, as you get mature, you do that, but guys don't when you're young, y'all ain't gonna really have, think about it, y'all ain't gonna have no conversations like that when you're younger. You know what I mean? As you get older, we know how to kind of communicate and talk and you grow and learn all that, but it just seems like overall, but you know what?
But you openly admit through a book that you did not.
That motherfucker should have still said something, though.
You know,
for sure. But it just seemed like, it seemed at one point they were good with each other, and it goes back and forth. So I don't know, man. It's just
that shit is crazy.
Scotty might be bipolar.
Scotty might be.
And he seemed like it, T, for real. He really do, seriously. Even when, you know how that he was doing interviews and at one point he'll say that Jordan was better than LeBron, then he'll switch up and say LeBron, you know, just like all that wild shit, man. So let's get into some, this is from ABC News, and y'all know how it is. We're going to be talking about Trump a lot because y'all know the campaign is coming up and it's always something new in the news with him, right? So this is from ABC News. It says, judge denies Trump motion to have Georgia election case dismissed on First Amendment grounds. Trump said the election subversion changes violated his First Amendment rights. Fulton County judge on Thursday, which is today, denied a motion from former President Donald Trump and several of his co-defendants seeking to have the Georgia election interference case thrown out based on First Amendment challenges. It says Trump and others had argued in part that the Fulton County indictment violated their First Amendment right to challenge the 2020 presidential election results. It says in his order denying the motion, Judge Scott McAfee wrote that even core political speech addressing matters of public concern is not impenetrable from prosecution. I'm going to say it again. Hold up. Let me say it again. Impenetrable.
I know you
messed it up.
I messed it up the second time.
Impenetrable.
Right. Addressing the matters of public concern is not impenetration. Now I'm fucking it all the way up. For prosecution is allegedly used to further criminal activity. The judge is also ruling, said that the indictment alleges more than just political statements, and so on and so on.
Hey, like Fonnie said, E, last week, she said, the train is still coming. The train is coming. That's what she said to his motherfucking ass. Train coming.
T Streets, with all this happening, do it mean anything when it comes to him running?
No, it doesn't. I'm hoping that, her name was Fonnie Willis, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping she could do God's work and lock him up, but I doubt it. He's going to be God's the next work, president. Huh? Sorry, everybody.
Next president?
Yeah, he's the next president. Sorry.
He ain't the next president. But the thing is that this case really doesn't mean anything. Well, it means something, but it's going to get delayed. It's going to get delayed so far into the election. It's not going to be an issue. No, it's going to get delayed. They're asking for they're looking to delay it right now.
Yeah, right. They're looking to delay it. That's all he wants to do is delay it. If the motherfucker gets elected, he's going to declare immunity on himself.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
These judges know that shit. So that's why they're pushing to at least get the trial started. But Reek, you might have a point because the clock is ticking. So if they keep delaying these damn motions, then it could possibly get pushed back faster.
Yeah.
Now, I have something interesting. And well, it's interesting to me, right? And so this article is from, it's called Naperville or Macaroni Kids, something, I don't know. But we all know that Easter just passed, Easter Sunday, right? And Easter Sunday is based on, I guess it's, Easter's developed through Christianity. I believe that's how the holiday.
No, Easter is not developed through Christianity. No. Resurrection Day is developed. Okay. Through Christianity.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So with that being said, Pastor Donnie got it straight. With that being said, I always see people have a lot of opinions on this and about the dates and the dates of the resurrection and just a whole bunch of stuff. And so this article right here has 12 interesting facts about Easter. And it says, Easter, and it's time for the Easter Bunny. But where did the Easter Bunny come from, and how did he get involved in Easter? Bunnies, candy, and eggs, oh my. Symbols of Easter time indicate renewal of life and new beginnings. Let's see how it all ties together, right? So this is the first one. It says, there's no mention of the Easter Bunny in the Bible. I think we know that. So how is he connected to Easter? The Easter Bunny is never mentioned in the Bible, yet he is associated with Easter. Our furry friend probably originated as part of Anglo-Saxon's festival honoring goddess named Estor, or however I pronounce it, whose sacred symbols are the hare and the egg. It says some Christian missionaries hope that celebrating Christian holy days at the same times as pagan festivals would encourage conversation, especially if some of the symbols carried over. So we know that the Easter Bunny is made up and had nothing to do with nothing.
Man, I really want to offend a lot of people that's listening, but I'm not going to do it.
No, be the asshole.
Come
today.
On, T-Street.
Okay, I'll be the asshole. Y'all need to stop following Christianity. Follow God, follow Jesus. It's all tied in with paganism. It's the same shit.
It's like Christmas, bro. Just like Christmas.
Exactly.
Nothing to do. Hey,
man, that's why I don't celebrate none of that shit.
Hey, man, I love white Santa, man. Come on, man. Let's not go crazy.
Not white Santa.
You love a blue-eyed Jesus, too.
I like white Santa.
Every time I go in Trey's house, blue-eyed Jesus is right there.
Hey, look. All the Santa Claus in my house is black, man.
I don't think I got that Santa.
White Santa got more gifts than y'all black Santa.
Exactly.
White Santa got more expensive gifts than y'all black Santa.
Hey, this makes sense coming from you because you're the coronavirus king.
I got black Jesus.
Get his
black all out of here, man. So number two, right? This is where did the idea of the bunny delivering goodies to children come from? It says the final story about the rabbit coming to your backyard is nearly spring and leaving eggs in the garden was published in Germany in 1680. Dutch settlers in Pennsylvania brought the bunny to the United States in the 1700s. It says they told their children stories about Osterhaus or Osterseis, a hare German folklore that gave colorful eggs to well-behaved children on Easter. So they just making up all the shit, man.
Yeah, they make up.
It's all some made-up stories, man. Number three, it says Easter's date is determined by the lunar cycle.
Lunar cycle.
It
says, did you know that the date of Easter Sunday is determined based on the cycles of the moon? Easter occurs on the first Sunday after the Paschal full moon, which is the first full moon on or after spring. And so that's how they determine that. Number four, it says, we have the Ukraine to thank for egg decorating. Okay, it gets more and more interesting. It says, while the tradition of dyeing eggs at Easter may have begun as a religious practice, the custom of decorating those eggs comes from the Ukrainian craft dating back to thousands of years. The eggs called sankas and whatever the other word is, created using wax and dyes process. Ukrainian immigrants brought them to the United States. So that's why we did. It's good to have the history on this, man.
Is it really? Because it's
Now, this is something I didn't know nothing about, no pretzels at Easter. Number five is pretzels used to be a part of the Easter tradition. And that was from Europe. Number six, it says Easter baskets have a special symbolism. The woven containers represent birds, and that's new life. So all this is, again, it's all made up. Number seven, what is the Easter flower? So the Easter flower is symbolizing, you know, the resurrection of Christ. It's also believed that the large white flowers described in the Bible as growing quickly throughout Palestine were lilies. Number eight, Americans buy 700 million peeps during Easter. And what peeps are, me looking at the picture, look like those little candies, them soft the little pink marshmallow candies that are bunnies. It says every year 2 billion or so. So somebody getting paid off those. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gotta make that's money. Enough to circle the earth two times, it says. Americans buy more than 700 million marshmallows. Wow. Okay. That's new information. Number nine, more than 1.5 million Cadbury. I hate those jokes look nasty as shit.
Yeah, they are nasty, bro.
It says more than 1.5 million Cadbury cream eggs are made every day. Are you serious?
That is disgusting.
Trey, this all makes sense.
Bomb.
This all makes sense.
Oh my God.
I was like a little kid, man.
Nigga like cream in his mouth.
He likes cream.
Thank you for this cream.
Cadbury eggs. Y'all, no, Black Santa. Y'all been getting y'all presents all late.
Like, hey, no, the Cadbury don't even look good on, you know, like most stuff will look good on a commercial, but that shit don't even look good when they eat it on a commercial, bro.
I was never.
Why are y'all on headline of these people? Y'all had the damn Cadbury.
I was never
egg.
A fan of the Cadbury.
Y'all was a little kid,
man. I had one. It was nasty. I never had one again.
Yeah.
I never had
one. I don't like the feeling. Hey, Darius, that's just nasty.
Darius said you got to say no ditty to that cream.
Exactly.
No, I don't. I meant that. Mm-hmm. Trey said he liked it, so hey.
Trey said he liked it.
Nah, it's all Diddy. It's Diddy Bees.
So number 10 is, we almost finished. Number 10, Americans consume over 16 billion jelly beans during Easter. So this is all about some fucking money, man.
There's
enough jelly beans to circle the globe, not once, but twice. Damn, and I don't really like jelly beans like that.
I used to hate jelly beans.
Number 11.
Made jelly beans, you crazy.
I don't know.
I like jelly beans. I just don't like the licorice ones.
So it says number 11 is a surprising 59% of people eat the ears first. I guess on the chocolate bunnies.
Yeah, on the chocolate bunny. Yeah.
On the chocolate bunnies, it says
where you supposed to start?
And then
at the foot.
And then number 12, which is the last one, he says every year the White House hosts a special Easter celebration. I just want to say that my son went to the one last year.
Yeah, like he had fun, bro.
He did. Him and his mom went. I didn't attend, but they enjoyed it.
Was you protesting, E? That's why you didn't go?
Nah.
No, I know.
Outside the gate.
She got a hook up. No, she got a hook up.
Oh, she got a hook up.
She got a hook up, and her friend only can get 2 tickets. So
I got you.
But you know, it's a whole process. You got to stand in line and all that shit. I let that be mommy and son thing. I let them do that thing with that. I'm cool. Cool on that.
That's a double standard.
Well, I do other stuff, Donnie. You know,
that's true, man.
They can have
that double standard we was talking about. Come on, man.
They can do the White House, man.
That's a long ass line. That's a long ass line.
Oh, so look. So, all right. So, y'all tell me this, right? And I don't know if anybody on here has tried it, but y'all, I know y'all heard, or I know personal people who use Ozempic.
Okay.
Right? So for those who don't know, I don't know exactly what Ozempic is, but I know that people take it and they lose weight. And have any of you all had any Ozempic?
No.
Nah, I'm gonna ask my doctor tomorrow.
Well, it works. Well, according to, I know personal people who use it and...
But isn't it used for something else and not?
Well, it's supposed to be for
what is Ozempic? Ozempic, known generally as semaglutide, was approved in 2017 by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for use in adults with type 2 diabetes. Ozempic is a weekly injection that helps lower blood sugar by helping the pancreas make more insulin. Go ahead.
Well, you know what I've noticed? Some people who do it, it shrink their body, but it don't shrink their head. So you got to be careful because I don't think it's everybody, but some people, I see their bodies get smaller, but their head stay the same, so it looks a little different.
So
but,
is it worth it? Is it worth it if you look like a fucking alien?
But no, but that's just for some people. That's for some people.
Looking like Benzino.
It depends on your part, your body type. So this article is from CNN Business. It says Ozempic is coming for gyms. Here's how they are responding. It says America's gyms are adjusting their strategies as more of their members take weight loss drugs. So it says luxury gyms such as Lifetime are acquiring weight loss clinics with doctors who can prescribe GLP-1s the powerful new class of medications that have proven to be highly effective at helping people shed weight. With Equinox, is designing exercise programs to specifically, well, for people who take medication. So I think the gym is getting scared. So yep. The industry is undergoing a major shift as baby boomers start to age out of the typical gym-going population. As new medications enable easier weight loss, Oprah's famous Weight Watchers commercials are out. The company stock tumbled this week. Did you know about that, T? On the news that she was stepping down from the board. And doctors and strength training is in now. Says Ozempic, the GLP-1 prescription drugs have swept through all the demographics of the country. U.S. healthcare providers wrote that 9 million prescriptions of the Wegovy and the other injectable drugs used for weight loss during the last 3 months of 2022 alone. JP Morgan researchers estimate that 30 million people may be taking GLP-1 drugs by 2030, or around 9% of the U.S. population. While the overall impact remains unclear, gyms want to make sure that they are not left behind the shift of this weight loss. So I guess gyms are, you know, getting a little scared, because I guess if you're doing this, then maybe you won't want to work out.
Yeah, and also to add to that, E, what it does exactly is it interacts with the part of your brain that suppresses your appetite and slows food movement through the stomach and digestive tract. As a result, the medication has been shown to help people eat less and lose weight. But some of the downsides to it is that over time, since you're not lifting anything, you start to burn your muscle as well. Mm-hmm. So if you are looking at it for a quick fix, or if you're going to just take it long term, those are some of the downside effects of it. But you know, if people want to do it, you know, do it.
What are other side effects in this? Because you got to be more than that.
I have a cousin and her husband who take it, and they really dropped a lot of weight and they look really good. I haven't asked her about that part, which I'm curious, but they seem to. And he takes it and he still goes to the gym and lifts weights and stuff. And he's lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And so has she. But I think that my female cousin, she actually did get it for diabetes though. And it just happened to be.
Okay.
So the side effects of it real fast are nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, constipation, gas, burping, or acid reflux. Don't need that shit. Pancreatitis, diabetic, retinopathy complications, hypoglycemia, kidney problems, allergic reaction, gallbladder problems, other Ozempic side effects. Look. This is how fucked up it is. This is how fucked up it is. Number 13 says other Ozempic side effects. That means we don't fucking know. And then the 14, number 14 is thyroid tumors. You can keep that fucking Ozempic shit.
What?
I'm
going
to get my ass out here and run like I did when I lost weight and go to the fucking gym. You can keep it.
Yeah, because I feel like if you're using it for something outside of what it's supposed to be made for, then it could definitely, you know.
Big pharma. Yep. People love a shortcut, man. People love getting that work.
Get your ass in the gym.
Yeah.
You don't know how it's going to affect you personally. You're looking at TV and Oprah and all that shit. You don't know how it's going to affect your body. Mm-hmm. You don't.
No, that's real talk.
Yeah.
Now, this story right here is from the New York Post. And this is about, we probably all have, there's a lot of scamming going on. Man, scam has been going on from the beginning of the time. But, you know, now with the internet, you hear more about scamming. So it says, insurance scammer who wanted $1.3 million claim caused his own amputations with dry ice. Wow. So it says, Taiwanese man was hit with the insurance fraud charges for allegedly trying to claim over $1 million in payouts for a double amputation due to self-inflicted dry ice injuries. The 24-year-old suspect, identified by only his last name, Chang, lost both of his legs below the knees due to fourth-degree frostbite, bone necrosis, and sepsis. Newsweek reported citing that the district prosecutor's office stated that. It says, after the amputations, Chang supposedly applied for compensation from 8 different insurance policies with 5 companies that total up to $1.8 million.
Dumbass.
And it says, at the time, Chang claimed he was initially injured while riding his scooter at night, the outlet explained. It says, other insurance company paid out $7,000, but the other 4 alerted police when they noticed Chang purchased these policies suspiciously close to when he received these grisly wounds. According to the indictment, Chang was actually injured when a friend strapped him into a chair and left him to sit with his legs immersed in a plastic bucket filled with dry ice for several hours.
This is crazy.
Says the accomplice Lau, he supposedly agreed to help Chang pull off the quick cash grab after warning him that the gang was supposedly after him. It says the authorities double-checked Chang's scooter claims with the day of the incident, and they found that temperatures were between 43 to 62.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Not cold enough for serious frostbite. And so he scammed his way. From him doing the scam, he now is missing 2 legs.
And he going to jail.
And he going to jail.
Dummy.
Dumbass.
And he going to jail.
I wonder what was his thought process. Like, hey, y'all should do this and cut off both of my legs. But I'll be in
trouble. He trying to get money. He trying to get money. And that, look what happened to him.
Trying to get that 1.3.
I mean, some shit, it's just not worth it, man.
$1 million ain't worth me losing my legs.
Hell no.
Come on.
But can you imagine, like, waiting for your man to come back and you can't feel your fucking legs? This motherfucker don't never come back.
Come on, it's man. Not worth getting fired from your
it's
job.
Not, yeah, all
that, bro. Nah.
Yeah,
man, that's crazy, bro.
It sounded good, though.
Now, you know what I forgot? I meant to talk about this earlier. So I know that Reek was real excited because Beyonce was coming out with a new project.
Yeah, he was.
And so Beyonce did come out with a new project. And what's the name of this album?
Cowboy Carter.
Cowboy Carter. Has anybody heard any of the songs on it?
No.
Yes.
I heard some. Beyonce, man, you can't hate on beat, man.
I've heard snippets.
Okay.
Van Rob said, nah. She said, nah.
Please. I've listened to the whole thing. Okay. I've listened to the whole thing like a few times, actually.
It's good, right? I heard it's good.
Musically is great.
Love said no, too.
Musically is great. I love that she collabed with a lot of black country artists.
Right.
I love that she made the rendition of Dolly Parton's Jolene. She made it her own. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like, I think Dolly, in her version, she was pleading with the woman to stop messing with her man. Mm-hmm. Beyonce, like, listen, you know me, stop playing with me. That's basically the energy of the song, Beyonce's version. Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out to Raphael Sadiq. Okay. Every song that you were on, I loved it. Every song that you had part of the production or the writing, I loved it. Jay-Z, your pen game needs to improve a little bit on one of the songs you wrote on. I could tell what lyrics were yours over the dreams. And that spaghetti song, that rap, it's a little medley in the rap that was whack, Jay. So you need to get your bars up, get back, you know, shake the rust off.
How are you gonna sit up there and tell Jay-Z to get his bars up, bro?
Hey, it was whack. Well, just part of it. Just like maybe two bars out of the six bar strain that she did.
Diddy to your front door, bro.
Hey, whatever. I'm gonna get Trey for that. Trey security.
But remember, Jay-Z wasn't really a writer to begin with. He was always a freestyler.
Same thing.
So
same thing. But all in all, it's a solid album. I'm surprised. I like that.
That's a bet.
I'm like
glad to hear that.
Darius said Jay-Z is overrated.
Oh,
Darius don't like it. If you ain't 20 through 25, Darius don't like it.
If you're not Soulja Boy
or Drake
and Lil Fizz.
But Drake is in his 30s right now.
B2K.
But Drake acting like Soulja Boy, ain't he?
Drake acting like he's still like, 22.
Now, you know what I was going to ask y'all?
Sassy ass.
So I was going to ask y'all about the cover. Have anybody seen the cover to it?
On the horse.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if let's just say now this is just it's hard to put yourself in the mind of a superstar, But if you're a superstar and that's your girl or your wife, do you feel a way about them being or them posting? She's an entertainer. Would that give your wife a pass to be in skimpy clothing because she's an entertainer?
Yes.
She's not in skimpy clothing.
Oh, yeah, she's not? Well, I thought I saw her.
Not on that.
Sitting on top of the horse with the flag?
Oh, I thought.
I mean, it's not really skimpy.
Because remember, because Erykah Badu had made a comment about.
Oh, that was another.
What was that?
Yeah, that was another joint. I think that was something else.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Erykah Badu said what?
Well, she had made a comment when I think the cover came out of Beyonce's Carter.
Uh-huh.
She was saying something about her. And then people was going on Erykah Badu saying how you have something to say when you was got the video running through the park naked or whatever.
Yeah, I just watched Erykah Badu do a whole set in her bathing
suit,
which was basically
Erykah Badu's show. Her issue was that she said Beyonce was copying her style.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Beyonce had been rocking the braids or the Stevie Wonder braids for a minute. Before that. So, whatever.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the Renaissance cover.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. The Renaissance. I love all that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But see how you said it. Yeah. But that's a woman that's married.
True.
So she's it. So
she's an entertainer.
I'm waiting for the rest of what you.
She is not.
No, but I'm saying so. But what I'm saying, but what my point, what I'm asking is, mm-hmm. that's how we feel. But I'm saying, if it was your wife, would you want guys saying?
No, Trey would be like, nah.
Would you want guys saying? You know what I'm saying?
She's bringing me millions, E. She's bringing me millions.
And plus, so, okay. There's no sex tapes out with Beyonce.
Got him. The boys are back in town.
First off, I need some theme music because he could go sit up there. And
that was fucking perfect. As soon as you started talking music,
I thought Trey knew what was up because Trey was too quiet.
I gave him an alley-oop.
I just wanted to see what y'all told, man. Now,
I appreciate y'all, man. Welcome back.
Now, you know, it was another album that came out, and this was Future, and this is totally produced by Metro Boomin. And this album, Future, has 5 songs that are in the Billboard Top 10.
Damn.
And then the song with him and Kendrick
is
number one. Now, I'm going to ask y'all this. I don't know if anyone has heard the whole album, but if you have, do you think that it deserves to be number one?
I haven't heard it.
I don't know if the album's number one, but as far as the Like the That song? Single, it has the buzz. It's had the buzz. I'm surprised that Beyonce didn't have anything charting the top 10 because she's projected to sell like 400,000, something like that.
Yeah, you know that.
So I'm surprised she don't have anything in the top 10 this week.
That's interesting. Said it's a dope album, but it shouldn't be number one.
Okay. Yeah, people, I mean, Future is dope. But he's like a rock star, actually. Okay. And so he's not in the category of like rap. I mean, he raps, but I think he's more like a rock star type of artist.
The only joint I like from Future is that Commas joint.
That's the only song or the only project?
Yeah, Future got some hits.
I like the comma. I mean, you know, whatever. He out there, you know me, all right. You know what I'm saying?
Like I said last week, I'm not a fan.
I just knew that
man
to be is.
Oh, you're not T-Street?
I'm not a Future fan, but I like this album.
I like the comma.
Okay.
Yeah, he got some shit.
I'm going to listen to it, though.
Well, this article right here is from CNBC, and it says, people hate budgeting, and here's why. And how to reframe it. Do y'all hate budgeting?
No.
I'm the budget king.
No.
Yeah. All right.
So a lot of people
don't know how to. A lot of people don't know how to discipline.
So the key points from this article is that it says many Americans dislike the term budgeting. says the concept often leads to a sense of deprivation comparable to the notion of dieting, experts said. And it says there are some easy ways to reframe the budgeting exercise more positively. It says Americans hate to budget. However, reframing the concept can yield more positive results, experts said. They cringe at the word budgeting. I've never cringed at that, but okay. It says, said Wendy Sun, co-founder of the Sun Group Wealth Partners based in Irvine, California. It says, it's sort of like telling someone they need to diet and eat healthy, says Sun, a member of CNBC's advisor council. It's very overwhelming concept for an average consumer. About 68% of consumers say a budget will help them reach their personal and family goals, yet 40% say they have never had a budget. Mm. According to a poll by the CFP Board, which oversees the Certified Financial Planner designation published in 2019, Sun estimates that more than 60% of their clients feel as if they're literally going to suffer if you mention the word budgeting. Dang. I don't understand that.
I don't know who wrote that article.
So I don't know. It says
that's
so.
What's wrong with people
yeah,
today?
Yeah, that, I mean, that, yeah, that, I don't know
that's
nobody.
That's exactly what's wrong.
I don't know anyone who. Do y'all get scared of that word? I've never heard.
No. I think
you
because had, we're adults ahead. Here. I mean, you know that budgeting in adulthood is required. Like
yeah,
I've
I don't
never
know who,
heard of.
I don't know who they polled.
And it should yeah, be. And like budgeting and money management, it definitely should be taught early. In
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, why would somebody hate that?
And this
absolutely.
This is a post of just to add to what you're saying, Ethan Budget Dog. He's on IG, and he just made this post just off the money that you would save from not buying a new car when you really can't afford the high-ass payments. He starts by saying, you are not broke. You can save. Then he says, do not buy new cars. Buy used cars and cash. Save the $500 payments. Invest $250 into parent brokerages. Invest $250 into a Roth IRA. Turn on auto invest. 80-20 split, and he named two accounts, VSTAX and VTIAX, and live, and then he says, live your life stress-free. And then he says, this is a free $350,000 in 30 years just by not buying a new car strategy. So it just talks about how people don't have enough money at the end of the month, but they're still making their car note payments. They're still buying a whole bunch of shit off Amazon. They're still taking trips. They're still eating out, but they do not think about actually budgeting. It doesn't even come to their mind.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Budgeting is a great thing to me.
Absolutely.
Now I got this from this is gonna be good for anybody who's listening. This can relate to everybody. This is from an article called Centerstone. It says six healthy ways to navigate disagreements with your partner. Mm. Every person has had a disagreement with someone they love, but that does not mean it will end of the road. It does not mean it's the end of the road of a relationship. And I just want to say this. I know this females beef and don't be friends again more than that.
Hold on. Dang. Don't say females.
So keep going. People have different opinions. And it's perfectly normal and okay to disagree with the people you love, even a partner. It says, though disagreements are a common part of life, less common are shared insights about how to navigate conflict. All right. Are y'all ready for these?
Let's go.
And
buckle
so
up, Donnie.
It says, here are some healthy practices to use next time you and a partner disagree. And I think this could go not just partner, but probably friends, whatever.
Yeah.
And so it says, acknowledge feelings. It is so important to listen to your partner and acknowledge the point of view. Use I statements to express your feelings without placing blame on the other person for what you're thinking and feeling. Mm-hmm. So acknowledge feelings is the first one.
I like that.
Acknowledge it, Donnie.
Acknowledge. reassure your partner. It says it's important to remind your partner that a disagreement does not define your relationship. Reassure your partner that you are there for them and that it's okay to have different opinions in your relationship.
But you know what, though? But that's a big one, though, E. Like, because a lot of people, like, when you disagree, they take that extremely personal. And that's just, like, based off of, like, their psychological makeup, right? Where it's like, how do we resolve this? Do we need time? Some people want to talk about it right away. Some people
don't. Right? I'm want to talk about it type individual.
I'm sometimes not a right away.
No, Trey is more of a 6 to 8 month. talk about it.
Hey, bro.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I need some time.
So, in this process of waiting, are you holding a grudge or
quickly, right? When you know that that person, and I'm just speaking generally, okay?
Yeah.
If you know that that person's level is not where it needs to be, why should I rush back into a person whose mindset is the same? If you're not seeing what you did wrong, I'm not just gonna just come back and just sit down. And you're not going to be accountable for that. If I'm wrong, this is why I'm like that. Because if I'm wrong, I will apologize to you 30 times because I was wrong.
Trey,
but
I know you, Trey. He's not playing. He will apologize.
I know you, Trey. If I'm wrong, if I'm fucking wrong, I'm going to be like, yo, you know what I mean? We're going to sit down. We're going to talk. I'm going to make you laugh. I'm going to apologize to you. And we're going to do it. But if you fucking wrong and you not, if you acting like you not, Change the subject.
Change the subject.
That we really not there yet, I'm gonna just wait. That's all I'm saying.
April 20th is gonna be a blast.
Miracles happen in space.
I get what you're saying, though.
Where he go? Where he get to space?
Miracles happen in space. I got that from a life coach. I read books. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, America. Sometimes you got to give people space, and it's all positive. My bad, E.
Trey hold grudges. Oh no, you good? Trey hold grudges.
Nah, hold grudges. Trey, give you time to get yourself together.
I'm gonna tell you how you hold a grudge. A spoon.
Why you fucking keep bringing that fucking shit up from years ago? That was somebody else.
I'm gonna tell you how else you held a grudge. My old barber.
Man, that's grudges. my man. He know I love him.
You hold grudges.
That's my man. I love him. That's my man, bro.
But you held a long grudge.
Nah, I didn't have a long grudge. That was a misunderstanding.
So it's safe to say that Trey holds grudges.
Nah, man, we good, man. But you know what Trey do? Trey always come back to the table and talk, baby. It's just a win.
Now this is a good segue. This is a good segue into the third one because it says take a pause.
Yeah.
If the conversations get heated, or you are finding it harder to communicate with, well, we can say friend, but this is your partner, try to take a time out. Try to not use this as an avoidance technique, but make sure to return to the conversation once you've had time to process and breathe. Okay, so Trey just has a long, he processes and breathes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I was like, maybe some people, because I do go into this mode too. If I don't reach out or something like that, I'm just processing it. I'm trying to make sure that the next time that I do come to you, it won't be how the last time I came to you.
You don't want the same. You got to know yourself too.
You got to know yourself, definitely. You know how you handle stuff like that. The next one is meet in the middle. In a healthy relationship, compromise can be a useful tool to resolve a disagreement. Both partners get something they want, and they learn to work together to figure it out. It can become unhealthy when one partner never gets anything they want. I think that's that's a known joint.
Yeah.
It says reflect together.
I like that one.
Either during or after your disagreement, take the time to be with your partner and reflect on conversations you've had. Discuss what went well and what didn't go well. Notice behaviors and patterns that you can improve on. Say things like, I noticed, I blamed you. I'm going to work on that. Okay. And the last one is seek help. You do that?
Yeah.
Reflect together? Yeah. Seek help is the last one. If you find yourself stuck and unable to move past current struggles with your partner, there's always the option of going to couples counseling. Mm. Sometimes it can be helpful to talk things out with a professional to gain other coping and communication skills in your relationship.
Can you all do that? Would you all seek help?
I'm still in counseling. I'm still in counseling, but I don't think it's counseling. Like, my counseling doesn't consist of the things that I've done to people. It consists of what's been done to me, you know, and how do I process it? How do I move past it? I feel like what you said, like, you have to be able to, you know, at some point take accountability. You know, and when it's very hard to be the only person that takes accountability in a situation, and then your feelings don't get validated. So what is it that you do when your feelings don't get validated, but you're constantly validating someone else's feelings? You know what I'm saying?
That whole part. That you just said it better than me.
Yeah. I think that I always say this. I think the hardest thing for most people, it seems, to do is take accountability.
Yeah.
It seems like it's hard for people to say, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I fucked up. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that. And it seems something easy, but I just noticed that people really have a hard time doing that shit. You know what I mean? And when you're not accountable when you're not able to take accountability, it's hard to grow and move forward. You know what I'm saying?
And so then that's when you get the response of, okay, yeah, well, you ain't hear me, you ain't see me. Now I gotta, you know what I'm saying? I gotta fall back. Now I gotta show you and put up these boundaries. And these boundaries and gonna consist of the 6-7 months that Trey can seem to give up.
That burns people up.
So. Yeah, because when they used to you responding a certain type of way, then you stop responding. They don't know how to act because I feel like there's a thing where they feed off of that. They feed off of your energy.
That's where they're strong at. But I'm you're actually giving a person respect by giving them space.
Absolutely.
You're actually doing that. You see how I did that, Reek? You see how I did that, Reek? You see how I did that? You're actually giving people respect by giving you space. I'm just telling you because you
never give me space.
I always fucking call you. You never give me call space. Me back. I
every
fucking
time
text
I see you.
You don't fuck. I fucking text you. You fucking text me back 5 weeks later.
Bruh.
Fuck, man.
So yeah, y'all tripping. But so do we have an Ask the Rec Room?
Yes, we
before we go there.
Do that, T.
We gotta send out a rest in peace to the legend. Louis Gossett Jr.
The
legend Louis Gossett Jr.
And Louis Gossett Jr. was a tap dancer.
He was an actor.
He was in Raising the Sun.
Yeah.
He
was in Raising the Sun, Roots.
He didn't tap dance. Who was the one who
That's my man.
Gregory Hines.
That's my man.
Okay.
Both of them got the mustaches with the guy.
Yeah, rest in peace, Louis Gossett Jr.
My favorite Louis Gossett Jr., Officer and the Gentleman. And it was enemy mine too until he had the fucking baby at the end. I fucking hated that.
Hey, you know some movies, Trey. You know some movies.
He was at Roots too.
Yeah, we're gonna do a whole movie pod.
Dang, you like the cable guy, man.
Yeah.
In a real life cable guy.
Hey, bro. That's my thing, man. I love it. I love it, man. Especially and he was in Iron Eagle. Come on, man. He was in all three Iron Eagles, bro. The 80s, bro.
Yeah. Those movies were terrible.
Come on, man. Don't do that.
He was in a few Tyler Perry movies.
Motherfucker, you watch Tubi. You going to talk about Iron Eagle. Trey, get fucking Tubi out of here.
You said good-ass movies on Tubi, man.
You watch Tubi.
So what?
You watch fucking Tubi.
So what?
I watch Tubi, too.
Don't ever do
that.
Tubi,
that drink, yo.
Ask the Rec Room is
my bad, Donnie. Hey, Reek, be getting me mad, bro.
Shut up.
So As the Rec Room is a segment of the pod where we have our listeners, they DM us on Instagram. So follow our Instagram at the Rec Room Pod. And they ask us questions that they want to be asked on the show.
Ask the Rec Room.
And so we have one tonight. And Donnie, what is it?
Okay, so I was given two at the same time, but I want to get this one out because it's kind of like a segue into what it was that we were talking about as well.
Y'all gonna let that pass for real? Y'all gonna let that pass?
I was being petty earlier.
Hey, y'all gonna let that pass? Hey, dog. Hey,
this is equal opportunity. This is equal opportunity. You can't let that pass.
You gonna say pause? Mr. Pause.
I left it alone.
Go ahead, Donnie. Hey, hey, go ahead, go ahead with your bad self.
Boys, that's back in town.
So this one, it says, is it okay for your family members to stay in contact with an ex after you guys may have ended, maybe not on some good terms?
Oh, this is a good one. Let me answer this first because I'm going through this right now.
Oh, shit.
All right. Be careful, so let's go through this right now. So, all right. So I have a cousin and she don't listen, so she ain't going to hit me. But so I have a cousin and she's been married to her husband. They've been together for over, like, I would say maybe 12, 13 years. So when you do that, we're close. And mm-hmm. So he's like a family member to me. That's how I see him, as a family mm-hmm. member. So now they're going through a separation and divorce. Mm-hmm. And I saw her yesterday and she was like, hey, you know, do you still keep in touch with him? And I was like, well, we don't, not, I mean, he may hit me for my birthday, stuff like that. And I might like his posts and everything like that. So she was like, well, yeah, well, you know, you can do what you want, but he don't want me talking to his family. And I don't want him talking to mine. So you can do what you want, but I don't want you talking to him. So I'm like, okay. But I feel a little weird. And it wasn't the place to have a conversation mm-hmm. about it because I didn't really want to go back and forth. And me and him don't talk all the time. But at the same time, you making it weird because you're putting me in the middle of it. And I know y'all got y'all thing or whatever. But I mean, and me and him don't hang together. But it's like he like a cousin to me. Yeah. So you're saying, you know, unfollow him. And then at the end of the day, when y'all get everything together and start to be amicable, that's still my sons. They got kids. And so now, you know, you're just making it weird. So And then another situation real quick is when my parents got divorced, my mother was upset because my father would still be around her brothers, but they known him for 20 years. So it's tough when you have people so long in your life and they like family members and then you just like stop fucking with them. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's tough. So yes, you respect your family. Family come first. But at the same time, I think family got to be understanding that when you create these bonds and relationships and the person is like family, it's just hard to say fuck them because you saying fuck them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm petty.
I agree with you 100%.
If the family like me, I'm coming around. Just
you
to, come just
around
to piss
more.
You off.
You come around more.
Even more. Even more.
You just to piss you off. Three times this week. T.
She's gonna be. She's gonna be singing. We can't be friends. That second verse.
What you think, Reek?
Nah, like I said, I agree with E 100%, man. It's like you can't just go away from those relationships that were built. So, yeah, nah.
What you think, Donnie?
I think, I would say depending on the circumstances, depending on the ex and depending on the circumstances, I'm loyal. So if somebody break up with somebody and like, that's my family, I'm going to choose my family. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, like, all right. We already know what it is because I feel like my family, they then, you know, gave me intricate details maybe at some point about their relationship. You know what I'm saying? So if I know for sure that this person absolutely hurt my family member, then I'm not rocking with you. You know what I'm saying?
Other way around, though. What if your family member hurt that person?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. That's the thing, because me, I'm not limited to telling anybody the truth. You know what I'm saying? I'll be completely honest and let somebody know, hey, look, you know what you did was messed up. You know what I'm saying? Right. You got to go to this person. I will do that for my family member, or I will do that to my family member. I feel like when if it's me, then I won't have a problem with you, like, chatting with the person on social media, you know, you see him and pass him. Okay, cool. I would have a problem if you would, you know, be hanging out with the person. You know what I'm saying? Then you post it up with the person online, like y'all having fun. And I'm like, you got to be a little bit more, you know, empathetic to how I'ma feel about it. And then especially when it's being done behind your back. You know what I'm saying? You ain't giving nobody no heads up. You ain't telling nobody, hey, look, you know what I'm saying? This is what it is, you know? So I think for me, it varies. It varies.
So this is shit that I don't like. I don't like when you're like half the reason why the situation didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell your people, don't mess with that person.
Right? Oh yeah, definitely. Like, off the definitely. Break,
like you're including other people into your situation
that
you have a part in. And then the people that you tell might start acting funny towards the other party.
Absolutely.
Then your ass go back to the motherfucker.
Absolutely.
Right? Then you go back. After you done told, you put the APB out. Yeah, don't fuck with it.
Exactly.
Don't answer the phone. You got people acting funny towards him. He ain't never hit you. He ain't never done none of that shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're putting other people in your situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to that.
Exactly.
I hate that. So unless it's like a physical thing, whatever, if it's just y'all relationship, don't include other people.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, don't even call me and tell me don't mess with him unless he's putting his hands on you or whatever, right?
Absolutely.
Other than that, don't include people. That's
absolutely.
What I
feel like that because
y'all females, oh well, some of y'all. Y'all be going right back, Donnie. 2 weeks later, y'all be with him at Applebee's.
No. If I tell anybody intricate details, if I'm letting anybody know intricate details about my situation, that means that I'm already gone from the situation. Because my expectation is for somebody in my family to kind of like have my back on the situation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if it was a tumultuous one. I can't go back to something, you know what I'm saying, where it was, you know, maybe hypothetically physical. You know what I'm saying? If I tell my brothers about you, I'm expecting for my brothers to do something to you. So I'm not going back.
See what I'm saying?
You feel me?
Yeah, but physical is a different level. Physical,
yeah, that is. Different. But I'm just physical, saying, in a sense, like, if I'm sharing details with you, that means that I'm done with the situation.
Yeah, man.
I got you. So that was. Are we doing another one, or are we what? What are we doing?
We could do the other one if you guys want.
Yeah, let's do it.
This other one was. Is it okay for the? And this is just. Because you guys are married, you guys are with the children or your moms. But this is it okay for the new person in your ex-life to discipline your kids that you have from the previous relationship?
Well, to me, it depends on what we call discipline. So I haven't been through the situation, don't want to go through it, but I'm going to speak hypothetically and just say what I think. But of course, this is something you had to go through, but I'm going to say what I think. I would think that if that were to happen and I wasn't with my wife anymore and then she gets somebody else and I don't mind, like, if my son is acting up, of course you can say, hey, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
that hey, kind.
Yeah, that kind of like, you know, like, hey, man, you know, and it's still how you say it also. don't say it too crazy.
Don't get too crazy
how you say it, man.
Dog.
But so that is cool. In terms of putting him on punishment and stuff like that, I think I'm a little crazy. I can't, certain shit I can't take. So I don't think that, you know, if he's doing something that can injure himself or something like that, or, you know, getting crazy, yeah, it's okay to say, hey, man, whatever. I get that. But anything else, definitely no, not putting your hands on him. Then you have to watch how you speak to him. And then,
that's a lot, man. That's
to handle, man. So, that's tough. What'd you say, Reek?
No, I was saying, if you, you could probably put yourself in that situation too. If you dealing with a woman and they have kids, like I wouldn't even feel comfortable like spanking or putting my hands on their kids. No. I mean, of course, you know, you could offer advice, but
what if you've been there since he was a baby though, Rick?
Now, if you've been there since he was a baby, that's another thing.
Right. Trey taking my answers.
Nah. That's another thing.
Because I know people.
That means the relationship is established. So therefore you can't. You are that father. You are that man in his life or her life. Mm-hmm. So you have that right. But like if you stepping in later on in life, I don't like. It's a slippery slope.
It is
to me.
That's a tough. That is so situational. Mm-hmm. And things can go left really, really fast.
Yeah.
All right, real quick.
I just want to say this real quick. It's funny, everything we talk about, I must know a lot of people because I be knowing everybody in these situations. One of my friends, I'm going to make it quick so everybody can say what they want to say. But I do have one of my friends, one of my closest friends, he remarried. When he remarried, his wife has a son. The son, when he remarried, was probably about like... once maybe like 12 at that time, and the father would have a problem because my man and his wife they run more like a discipline house where it's like, you know, you don't talk on your phone after this time, this and that. But when he go visit his father, he's able to do anything that he wants to do. And so his father feel like basically they've had a, I ain't gonna go deep into it, but they've had to have conversations because my man is like, well, when he's in my house, your son is in my house, he has to follow my rules.
Mm-hmm. My house.
And then when he's in your, so it gets crazy. I'm going to leave it right there, but that's something that, but I know T-Streets has something to say.
Yeah, I've been in the situation. I was there from the time the kid was 6 months, years old. That is my son. And beat his ass when it was needed. Mm-hmm. Talk to him when it was needed. Tortured them when it was needed. Nah, that's a joke, kind of.
Okay, all right.
But CPS. psychological whoopings I would give him sometimes to switch it up to keep him on his toes. Mm-hmm. But like I had to talk with the father before the relationship got to that point, and you know, talk with the mom to let her know if I'm gonna be here, then
I'm whipping some ass.
He's gonna listen, and we got to be on the same page because I beat kids. Yeah, so you got to be okay with it, or it's not gonna work.
Spank.
I feel like
no, I beat kids. I would beat you. I beat kids.
I feel like coming from a female's perspective, I feel like, and I've been in this type of situation before. I feel as if me and the dad have this relationship and how we discipline our children, shouldn't nobody be able to penetrate that. I understand it's your house, your rules, but when it comes to physical discipline, I have a problem with that. I don't cuss at my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be disrespectful. I feel like I've parented children that was not mine, and I never laid a hand on them. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's a such thing as gentle parenting when it comes to somebody else's children. So show my child that respect. And this is why it's very important that you do maintain some sort of relationship with your ex's new partner. So that way you guys can be on the same page, especially when it comes to, you know, discipline and the kids. Like, but no woman has no right to put their hand on my child at no given time when his mama is able-bodied. I'm sorry, that's not gonna work with me. That's not gonna fly. I don't care if my child disrespectful and bad as hell, you better talk to his daddy about it.
Let me ask you something, I wouldn't
be with you.
Let me ask you something, Donnie. Let me ask you something, right, Donnie. Now. So look, so what if the scenario was that, let's say that, all right, let's say that the female, they're over their house, right? And you say, they say it's their house, they rules. And then your child says something slick,
crazy,
something smart to the lady. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't say nothing slick back, but she kind of says something like, hey, look, don't talk to me like that again. You need to go to your room.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
I feel like, yeah, that's acceptable. That's in, you know what I'm saying?
Like you ain't like that, Donnie. You.
No, I'm serious. It's a way that you talk to your kids, because I have a way that I talk to my kids. I have a way that I communicate with my kids, and I'm expecting for the other person to be able to communicate to my kids in that manner. You can talk to a kid without being so forceful or using, you know, vowel language. You know what I'm saying? And you could get them to listen. It all depends. But kids can actually see the type of person that you're dating. So it's almost like if your kid is being disrespectful to your spouse, then that's something you need to pay attention to. Yeah. That's something you got to look into a little further, because that person is showing your kid something behind your back. You know what I'm saying? So, like, don't fight, you know what I'm saying, your baby mama on it, because not all baby mamas are bitter.
That's true.
True.
Yeah, just choose. You got to choose wisely on who you bringing around your children.
Absolutely. Okay.
Don't bring Trick.
Man, I'm the best. I'm the best dad, man. Ever. Okay.
Eating them Salisbury steak.
Hey, all that. No more Salisbury steak. Shit. Hey, Murray's, this who we got. Murray's bomb. Hey, this who we got. Man, we loaded and hit, man. We got like multiple white people and everything in this motherfucker. Nice. I love it. Hey, so this who we got. We got my man James Holmes, the number one weapons instructor in the DMV. Hit up my man James Holmes. You dig? We have Cher Bear in here with us tonight. Thank you, Cher Bear. We got Love Underscore. It's past 9 p.m. She probably asleep right now. We got 86 Bad Love.
What'd I tell you?
We got 86 Bad Love. That's a dope name. 86 Bad Love in here with us tonight. We have The Maven. Thank you so much, The Maven, coming in here with us tonight. We have the infamous Pretty Reds. Everybody know about that Pretty Reds, you dig? We got Darius the author. He is in here with us tonight.
What up, D?
Appreciate you. We got That's Interesting Podcast in here with us. That's Interesting Podcast. Cass, what's up, family? We got VSJ in here with us tonight. VSJ, thank you so much. We got Dolce in here with us tonight. We got family, Miss Van Robb in here with us tonight. We appreciate you, Miss Van Robb, every single week. We got the infamous Tata in here with us tonight. Tata all be all in the chat. She be all in the, you know what I'm saying?
And we owe her a hoodie, man. A hoodie and some Starbucks.
All the videos. AE, don't say hoodie.
Don't say hoodie.
No, I said it. No, hey, I keep my words, man.
Nah, I keep my word. Nah, I feel you. Okay.
Don't say hoodie, man.
Hey, you go here and knock on your door like 35 minutes fucking with Tata. All right, we got Masa in here. Thank you so much. Masa coming in here with us tonight. All right, we got my man Chuck in here. Appreciate you, my man Chuck. We got PEI in here. We got my man Taraz in here with us tonight. Who else we got in here? We loaded in here, y'all. Hold on one second. Let me keep going. We have Rejoice Manti in here with us tonight. Rejoice Manti is in here with us tonight in the chat. Let me see. We still loaded, y'all. Hold on. We got, I already said Miss Love Underscore. She already asleep. I ain't even worried about that.
I told you, don't come for that one.
Nah. She already.
I already told you that.
Who else we got? Hold on. We got some people in the chat, bro. Hold up. We got my man Red Fox. Yeah, my man Red Fox in the chat with us tonight. I love that. Hey, Red Fox, you got to come back every week, bro. I just love seeing that name, bro. We got VSJ. We have MK Priscilla. We have MEH in here with us tonight. MEH. We got the Bisco in this thing. Not Nabisco. The Bisco. You dig? I like that name. And that's who we got tonight. You know it, bro. Take it home.
Well, that's what's up. We appreciate everybody, man. If you like what you hear, always say tell a friend to tell a friend about the pod. This is episode 70, so this is a milestone for us. We are at episode 70. And a year ago, we weren't thinking about doing an episode one. So it's been a great journey, and we just starting.
We just beginning.
Definitely appreciate
you. You can listen to the pod on anywhere pods are streamed. If this is your first time listening, we have on camera, in person pods on our YouTube channel, which is the Rec Room Pod. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at The Rec Room Pod. Follow us on TikTok at The Rec Room Pod. And like I always say, everybody has a part, but everybody isn't us. To the next time.
Bang, bang. That part.